Good morning. Welcome to Little Swatara. Thank you for being here and joining us on National Youth Sunday. This morning, we will be sharing our experience at a National Youth Conference. I would like to highlight the Country Fair next Saturday in Rarisburg, and that baptisms are at Camp Swatara next Sunday at 2. Please look closely in your bulletin for any other announcements. The flowers on this altar this morning are to celebrate Jim and Barbara Batts' anniversary. There will also be a Bible presentation for students entering junior high a bit later in the service today.
On behalf of the youth, I would like to say thank you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your financial support. Thank you for everything as we went on this journey to National Youth Conference. Everybody has gone on a journey of some sort, whether through high school, a vacation, any kind of journey. And on these journeys, we've made memories, lots and lots of memories. My favorite speaker this week was Jeff Carter. He helped me to remember all of these memories that we've ever made. These memories that we make can either have a positive or a negative impact on us. And these memories also help us create labels. These labels that we give ourselves from these memories and how we feel can either be positive or negative. Just because we have labels does not mean they have to define you. They aren't who you are. It meant to me that even though we all have labels, it doesn't define you. I'm my own person. You're your own person. That label isn't you. The Bible says that we are accepted. We are chosen by Jesus. We are beloved. We are chosen and we are beloved. You're treasured. No matter how many different labels I give myself, you give yourself, you're treasured. These labels don't define you. In the beginning of the service, you were given a piece of cloth as you entered. If you don't have a cloth, one of the youth advisors will make sure you have one. Just kind of raise your hand up in the air if you don't have a piece of cloth. And while we were doing, we got these cloths at NYC, all right, in the beginning of the service. As you see, we connected all of them and made a big chain. So we started in the back of the stadium, and we connected all of them and brought them forward. It felt like it never ended, but it showed how we're all bounded together. The theme for the week was bound together, clothed in Christ. And all the knots showed how nobody, not one, stands alone. Get it? Ha ha, not. So as through the service, just kind of tie yours together, start at the back and bring them all the way front. Keep tying until we reach the front of the rows. Please rise and join us in singing.
I love the world. just and unjust, a place at the table of user abuse.
Obviously. This next song is called Peace Be Still. You guys probably should know it. So what we're going to do is we're all going to say the entire thing one time all together. And the next time, we're going to split it up. This side of the church will sing the first part, and this side of the church will sing the second part after we sing the first part. Like a little bit after. So it does this cool little, like dual song thing, and it sounds really nice. So yeah, all together first time, separate next time. Cool, thanks.
Peace be still and know that I am God.
Good morning. At this time, I'd like to invite those students to come forward who will be receiving a Bible during the junior high Bible presentation. And while they're making their way up front, I just wanted to share that we will be recognizing 14 students that will be joining the junior high Bible or Sunday school class, and some that are already attending. And each student will receive the Teen Study Bible, and it's awesome that we have so many coming forward this year. When I called Joy Bookstore to place the order, she celebrated with me at the numbers that we had. So I would like to share a little bit about each student. We have a few that were unable to be here this morning due to last-minute vacations, getting those squeezed in before school started. Ben Zeller, Aiden Schwamm, Brett Erb, and Bryson Erb will be sure to get their Bibles to them. So, in no particular order, we have Ethan Beidler. Ethan plays soccer, basketball, and baseball. He also plays the saxophone in the school band. And Ethan is in 4-H, and he shows dairy, beef, and pigs. Samantha Silek. How do you say it? Silek, sorry. Samantha will be going to sixth grade this year. She likes to swim, draw, play soccer, go to the beach, and she also loves camping and roasting marshmallows. Me too. Brooke Bixler. Brooke is going into sixth grade this year, and she enjoys cheerleading and showing her dairy and beef animals at the fair. There's Mark. Mark Forey is going into sixth grade this year. He participates in soccer, wrestling, and baseball. He also enjoys hunting, fishing, golfing, swimming, and skiing. And Mark loves to travel with his friends and his family as well. Katie Light. There she is. Katie's going into eighth grade this year, and she enjoys playing softball and basketball. And Jaden Manbeck. Jaden likes running cross country, wrestling, track and field, and playing the trumpet in the school jazz band. He's also on 4-H and shows dairy, beef, and pigs. Aiden Blatt. Aiden's going into seventh grade this year. He plays soccer and basketball. He likes fishing, riding his dirt bike, his four-wheeler, and his side-by-side. He also likes helping at his dad's shop and helping to service the cars. And Jason Light is going into sixth grade this year, and he enjoys playing basketball, baseball, and soccer. And Jared Bear is entering sixth grade. He enjoys playing baseball and watching the Phillies. And Jared also plays the saxophone. Trevor Manbeck is entering sixth grade, and he enjoys being a part of the wrestling team, and this will be his fourth year participating. He enjoys watching football, go Eagles, not mine, but his. And is a member of the Lebanon 4-H Livestock Club and judging team. Trevor raises pigs, dairy beef, chicken, and turkeys, and lives on a farm. And we'll be sure to get the last four friends their Bibles too. So it's awesome that we have so many friends up here, and here's what you guys have to look forward to.
So one of the things is to encourage these youth. So as you look forward, as you see these youth coming to church, encourage them, uplift them, give them a high five, give them a pump fist, whatever it is, but keep encouraging them, because one of the things as they get older and older, get to the senior high age, they get to college, church tends to get pushed to the side. But when you have a family like this, look out and look at these people. This is your church family, and we support you, and we love you, and we want you to actually open those Bibles and read them, because you're going to find meaningful information to your lives within each of those. So don't hesitate. All those people out there are experts in the Bible, right? So they'll be able to answer any questions you have, especially the one, did dinosaurs exist? So look for John Y. See him right there. Put your hand up and ask him about dinosaurs. Don't be afraid to interact with your congregation. All right? So let's pray. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for these youth. You know, Father, their path. You know what they'll be doing in many, many years. And we just pray, Father, now with the Bibles in their hands, the sword of the Spirit, they would be willing to just open those and just expose themselves day in and day out to what it has to say for each of their lives. And we just praise you and thank you and ask your blessing upon them as they receive their Bibles, and ask that you would go with them and their families and bless them as well. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Congratulations, guys.
Therefore, as God's chosen people,
chosen by God,
picked by God,
called on by God,
God's people.
I think they get the picture.
Fine.
Okay.
As God's chosen people,
holy
and dearly loved,
clothe yourselves with
clothes.
No.
Well, yes.
What else would I clothe myself with?
Clothe yourself with compassion,
kindness,
humility,
gentleness, and
patience.
Yes. Bear with each other.
Wait, do you mean bear as in roar?
Why would we mean the animal?
Bear as in to carry, support, and endure.
Oh, okay, continue.
Bear with each other, and
forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone.
Forgive as the Lord forgave you.
Right.
But over all these virtues, put on
love, which binds them,
connects them,
joins them,
all together,
in perfect unity,
harmony,
love,
peace.
Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts,
body,
soul,
mind,
since as members of one body you are called to peace.
And be thankful.
Amen.
Sisters, we have so much to be thankful for this morning. This is only partway through the service, but let's just encourage and uplift these youth. They are doing a fantastic job already. So give them a round of applause and spur them on as we continue to hear about National Youth Conference. We do have a few shout-outs this morning. Where's Savannah Myers? Savannah Myers, she is an official RN. Give it a round of applause, because that's a lot of work to get to an RN position. Jim and Barbara Batts over here to the right, give a round of applause for their anniversary. And every single one of you, God is moving in your life. Something is happening right now. And if it isn't happening already, it's about to happen. So give yourselves a round of applause. God is good. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the way that you interact in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to gather here as a church family and to hear about this incredible journey that these youth have been on at National Youth Conference. We pray, Father, that your peace would continue to be in our lives and to be in the lives of these youth and every single person gathered here this morning. We know, Father, you have a perfect plan. We don't always understand in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our struggles, what's happening. But, Father, we just sit here, we gather here this morning, and we say that you are good, and we thank you, Father, for your goodness. But most of all, this morning, we thank you for something even greater. We thank you for forgiveness, for we know that at the cross, you forgave each and every single one of us, that every single sin in this room has been paid for once and for all, and we celebrate that this morning, Lord. And we look into that tomb, and it's empty, and we realize that you are risen. And we have this life ever after. So we just praise you, Father, this morning for marriages. We praise you for students and children. We praise you for individuals that are here this morning and ask your abundant, abundant blessing upon them. We give you praise this morning. We acknowledge you as the one true God who sent your one and only Son. And we rejoice together and continue to celebrate in our lives who you are, sharing that good news with others. We do pray this morning you would continue to have your healing touch, your power powerful touch upon those individuals that are suffering. We think about Ruth Conover this morning. We think about Joe Reinhardt and Tim Reinhardt. We think about Denise this morning and my father Bob and many others that come to our minds right now in this moment. Lord, may you have your will be done in their lives, and we will thank you whatever may come our way. So God, we thank you for gathering us in this place. We thank you that together as one voice, bound together, we can praise you. And we say all this in the powerful name of Jesus our Lord, and all God's children said, amen.
Christina Cleveland was the speaker for Sunday evening. Christina is a social psychologist and teacher who spoke about diversity in the world today and the ways it affects many people. I enjoyed Christina's message because she had a very energetic personality and because she encourages everyone that they are accepted and loved no matter what walk of life they come from. During the day on Sunday, we got to explore the college campus and meet our small groups that we would be meeting with for the next 4 days. In small group, we got to meet new people and discuss the effects each speaker had on us. Also on Sunday, each youth chose a workshop that they would attend. Each youth workshop was a fun way to incorporate activities we love with the Bible. The youth workshop I chose was a jazz dance workshop. We got to learn how to go across the floor and learn a dance combination. The lesson of this workshop was that Jesus gave us the ability to dance, so we need to take advantage of that. During NYC, I got to meet new people, become closer with God, and have many new experiences, such as hiking in the Rockies, service projects, small groups, and workshops. Anyone who has a chance to go to NYC should definitely take it because it is a great experience.
On Monday morning of our journey out in Colorado, we were able to listen to Pastor Eric Landrum, who speaks at the Church of the Brethren in Lititz, Pennsylvania. Throughout Eric's sermon, we were able to listen to his testimony and what brought him back to the church, as well as our paths as Christian believers. When Eric was younger, he spent most of his days out of church. He didn't care for what it had to offer at the time and decided not attending was the easiest route. Eric saw God as the powerful man who would only judge him when he sinned. He had believed that he was not ever going to be worthy of God's forgiveness, and this scared him. It scared him so much it pushed him away from Christianity for a short while. He spoke of how easy life had become because he could choose his own path without guilt and fear. He later realized in life that his so-called easy lifestyle was not what he was called for. Eric states that the Church of the Brethren is what saved what little faith he had left. He needed to see the good in God's people for him to understand that God was not an unforgiving, higher-up figment of his imagination. By being brought back into the church, Eric was able to witness God's work through others around him and by reading the Word. His message to us was for us to understand that by reading the Word, we can see the works of God through others, and through that, we see what God is all about, forgiveness. The passage that Eric used as an example was the story of the prodigal son. Within this passage that I'm sure many of us know, the father forgives the son after the son sins many times against him. The father did not react with anger or disapproval. Eric tied this together with the actions of God. Through this story, we can see how God would and will forgive us when we sin, as he always does. The biggest thing that stood out from his message is that God wishes for us to reflect on him and his actions when our brothers and sisters confess a sin against us. As we were once forgiven, they should be too. Following the Christian path isn't always easy, just as Eric told us on that Monday, but we should never forget that we serve a mighty yet forgiving God.
I did this first service too. I need a little more room to stand than they do. So on Tuesday morning, we had, in my opinion, an extra special treat for a speaker. We had Ted Schwartz and Ken Miedema. Now, I'll start with Ken. Ken is an amazing musician, incredible. He's been blind since birth. He makes up songs on the spot, and as you can see, he is playing not one, but two keyboards at the same time. I can't do that, and I can see. Ken has done amazing things with his musical gift. He once, at a previous NYC, did a workshop where he would have young people come in and talk about their stories, their low points, their depressing times, and then he would make them up a song on the spot. Everyone was completely different and unique to them and their experience. Now, Ken was there helping out another one of my favorite people to listen to, Ted Schwartz. Few of you, at least, should know of Ted Schwartz. Ted, I'll read this right out of the book for you. Ted Schwartz is a playwright and actor for over 20 years, and he fell in love with acting in theater on his way to a traditional pastorate in the Mennonite Church. A coupling theater and seminary education, that Ted became a theologian of a different sort, and discovered that an intersection of humor and biblical story, we find a new understanding of the scripture. That's what Ted is. He's a comedian. He takes the Bible and kind of updates it. What would they do if it was now? For instance, in one of his sketches the night before, he did the feeding of the 5,000. And he will come out and ask you, go gather food. Okay. Lord, we have a bag of Cheez-Its, a couple sticks of gum. Ooh, a full pack of mints. And he will take things from the audience and include you in his show to show what we might have supplied. Not a whole lot. We don't carry much food on us, do we? Though, if we were at Grandma's house, I'm sure we could have fed about 50,000. And then he'll update it. He'll ask, count them. Why does he always ask me this? He knows I'm not good with lovers. We have 11, 12. And what does that mean? Okay, Lord, get this. 12 baskets, 12 of us, 12 tribes of Israel, huh? And what does that mean? Guys, what do we do? All right, we'll go with the usual answer. Lord, we don't know. Do we ever know? Later that night, he did with this other lovely gentleman, Tim, who is going to be Kyle's domain later, a whole segment on fear and how fear affects the brain. Ken supplied his wonderful musical talent, got a song stuck in everybody's head. But their whole point was that fear will eventually overwhelm your ability to logically assess and figure out what to do. But with God, you don't have any fear. There is nothing to fear. So you don't have to worry about it. There's no fear.
So during NYC, we had multiple different sessions, which would be our workshops. And these workshops could range from anywhere between talking about God in a manner where we would integrate Marvel superheroes to making a pretzel. And each one of these were vastly interesting, and all the speakers knew what they were talking about and like really hit home to where their point stood. And it was very fun to see their points on God and how each one integrated into each one of their themes. Another thing that we did after each one of our worships, we had a small group, and these small groups were very interesting. Every single one of these topics that they set were entirely unique, and it spawned a lot of questions. It spawned a lot of like creative thinking that we all had between each other and the groups themselves. They were one of the like really interesting people that I would want to talk to like on a daily basis. They were really nice, friendly, and all loved God, and it made me want to strive to look more into him and see what I can ascertain more from the Bible because of these small groups, and I really enjoyed it.
Throughout our week at NYC, we were given many opportunities to give offerings. Some of these offerings included used t-shirts to be made into diapers, supplies for cleanup buckets, donations for the local food bank, and a monetary offering for NYC scholarships. This showed us many ways we can make an impact on others. This morning, let us give in the same spirit of compassion. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give because you have so generously given to us. Take these gifts and multiply them. Send these gifts to places and people where they are needed so that others may see Jesus. Amen.
New life.
I'd like to invite any of the children in the congregation to come forward. I guess I'll just wait for the last few here. So, do any of you know what this here is? Anyone?
A diaper.
Yep. Yes, it is a diaper. And did you know that many parents in the islands of Haiti don't have access to diapers like this for their babies? That's not a good problem to have. So the service project that some of us did in NYC was we made cloth diapers out of clothing that you guys probably wear every single day. Can anyone guess what it might be? What do you guys wear every single day?
Shirts.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we made diapers out of t-shirts just like this. So we reused these old t-shirts and we cut out a pattern on the shirts that you can see in some of our pictures up there. And after we cut them out, some of the ladies in the building we were in sewed them together for us. And there's some more pictures of us up there. So all together through the week, we made about 230 diapers out of 1,800 shirts. And they were cut into diapers and they were given to families, and they can be reused. So after they wash them, they can reuse them. And that's a lot of diapers, so that's a lot of families who got helped by that. Can you guys pray with me? Dear God, please help us to appreciate what we have and to be with the families in Haiti who are in need. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Okay, so one of the service projects that they had for us to participate in during NYC was to help put together cleanup buckets. The buckets are made to be distributed to people in need of basic supplies after disasters, such as hurricanes or a flood. Some of the supplies that were put into each of the buckets were things such as gloves, trash bags, dust masks, laundry detergent, towels, brushes, sponges, bug spray, clothespins, and wash line. We worked in assembly line to put the buckets together. They split all the volunteers into groups to organize one of the items that would go into every bucket. Then buckets were carried down the line by an individual and filled at each station by a member there. I got to carry a few buckets as they were filled up, and by the end of the line, they were packed and getting heavy. There was no extra space in the buckets. They were filled up to the very top. The day we worked, we made 125 buckets, but throughout the week, 400 of these cleanup buckets were put together. After we finished making the buckets, I realized that the next person to open these would be someone who is in need and has recently gone through a disaster. It's a good feeling to know that we are making a big impact on the lives of so many people, and all it took was a little bit of time and effort to help at least 125 families.
The service project I did was day camp. At first, we didn't know what task they were going to throw our way, but to my surprise, I got to spend a few hours with amazing, crazy, ecstatic kids. I am so lucky and privileged to have met them. But one little girl caught my attention. Her name is Ava. Meeting her put my view of the morning worship in perspective. Ava is a nice and smart girl, but within the time I spent with her there, I befriended a young, wonderful person. As time went on, I got to see all the aspects of her personality, good and bad. One thing I noticed is that she seemed like an outcast. She gets angry easily, and that scared away all the kids. She needed a friend, someone to listen. Luke 8:22-25 says, "May you use those gifts that you have received
and pass on the love that has been given to you. I think that personality that is given to you is made to be loved by others. All Ava wanted was to have a friend, and it upset her that she was different. The worship theme for the day was true peace. I think that it means you should be happy with yourself before you can be happy with someone else. True peace is not achieved overnight. It takes time for someone to find it, but when you do, you stop worrying, and people stop worrying what people think, and that's true peace. Thank you.
Okay. I will be sharing my experience of the Tuesday evening service. It was preached by the co-pastors from the Hagerstown Church of the Brethren in Maryland. Their names are Tim and Andre Hollenberg Duffy. They had a slightly unorthodox way of conveying their message. They started out by tying themselves together back to back. It wasn't a very effective way to share a message because they were fighting to be on the front side and each story was broken up. After that didn't work out, they went to opposite sides of the stage and talked about their own experiences at the same time. That also did not work because it was hardly possible to follow either story. The realization was that being bound together cannot be a literal act or a forced act. It has to be cooperative and mutual. At the end of the service, also presented an opportunity. They were holding an anointing service with teen volunteers doing the anointing. Many people in our youth group and the conference were moved to be anointed, and it was a very special event. I was personally anointed by a friend I met at Camp Sotara a few weeks previous to the conference. I saw this as a special moment in the week.
On Wednesday morning, we were able to hear two of the youth participants at NYC speak. Their speeches were selected out of a contest, and they were able to share their messages with us that morning. The first youth speaker we heard was Elise Gage, who is a member of the Manassas Church of the Brethren in Virginia and a high school freshman. Elise spoke about how our actions, like being humble, kind, compassionate, and forgiving towards others, shows love. These may not be easy to show, which is why we pray for help. She spoke about how even though we ask God for help, our problems will not be solved overnight, and that sometimes he just waits for us to act on the answers he has already provided. Elise said that even if we fall short of showing love to one another all the time, he still loves us and forgives us. She ended her speech with the quote, "We are joined on this journey together, clothed in the love of Christ." The second youth speaker we heard was Taylor Dudley, who is a member of the Mountain Lake Church of the Brethren and a rising sophomore at Ferrum College. Taylor started off her speech by saying how we are all a part of the body of Christ and that without one another, we would not be whole. She states that we are all put here by God to spread his name and his love. Taylor shared a story about a camper who had a constant need for attention. She said that this made it difficult for her and the other counselors and campers to love him. When the camper opened up to her and told his story, she spent the rest of her week loving him and trying to make it the best week possible. Taylor said that as Christians, we are called to not only show each other unconditional love, but to share that love with believers and non-believers alike.
Our final full day at the National Youth Conference consisted of many things. Colorado University has an indoor pool with a rock wall, volleyball court, lazy river, and a hot tub the size of a pool. I unfortunately had to spend more time than I wanted to in that hot tub because of my lovely cousin here, Lydia. But I can't complain about being there because while sitting in the hot tub, we got to watch the hilarious view that was Ethan and Jack trying to climb the rock wall. Lydia and I also got a little sneaky that day and decided to trick Josh into going to a workshop entitled Did Jesus Do Ballet? Yes, we did ballet, a lot of it, and it was absolutely worth lying to Josh about. We finished the day with that extraordinary speaker, whose Australian accent is hard not to listen to. Jared McKenna touched on the parable of the Good Samaritan and how it is more often about the hated Samaritan who symbolizes God camouflaged as those who are hated and despised. He closed with an altar call to both youth and adults in the Church of the Brethren to recommit themselves to the Brethren tradition of feet washing, which he lifted up as a means for the church and the world to seek healing. As almost the entire gymnasium of youth and adults arose from their seats, making their way to the floor, it was hard not to just take a moment and look around. People confessed, cried, prayed, hugged, and just stood in awe of God and all that he is. Jared brought that gymnasium of mostly strangers together in a matter of minutes, and it was a truly extraordinary moment. He also brought upon an opportunity for myself and a few other members of our youth to connect and learn about each other's backgrounds a bit more. It was an eye-opening night in Jared's presence and an experience I hope to encounter someday again.
The speaker I will be telling you about is Michelle Aspon. Michelle became a pastor of Miami's Church of the Brethren in 2012. From the time that Michelle became a pastor, she helped out other churches like Haiti's Church. While she was furthering her career by with workshops, medical clinics, and serving as a liaison between the two churches, In addition, in the year 2012, Michelle has volunteered at the Global Mission and Servant Program with the Church of the Brethren of Haiti. Michelle's message of her speech was about expressing her gratitude. In her speech, she says, gratitude is more than a mental experience, more than a formula of words. In addition, gratitude means to take nothing for granted, is never unresponsive, and is to be constantly ready to wake a new journey. Also, with her words made me realize when I was in my small group, I took it for gratitude because I wasn't willing to talk to new people. So later that night, I had a talk with one of my advisors, and they told me to take a chance and talk to the new people, and I shouldn't be afraid to step out of my comfort zone. So with that, with what they told me, I thought about it, and I talked to a small group of people that I still talk to today. So with these two things, I'll remember that, yes, it is scary to step out of your comfort zone, but if you don't, you can miss out on great life experiences and opportunities. And the second thing is, you should always have gratitude in any situation you are in. Thank you.
Forgiving God, because we have been chosen by you to receive eternal salvation, clothe us in compassion so that we may relate to those carrying heavy burdens, and spread kindness throughout your kingdom. Clothe us in humility that allows us to let go of our pride and focus on following your purpose for our lives. Give us patience to avoid missing your many blessings, and above all else, guide us in putting forth every effort to live a life of love. Amen.